Okay, thank you all. We are going to start now with David, who is going to talk to us about Wasm GC. Easy subject, right?
Right? Yeah, super easy. Can everyone hear me? Yes. Okay, cool. Hi, everybody. My name's Dave. I am the CTO at the Sprightly Institute, and I'm here to talk to you about WebAssembly and specifically the garbage collection proposal that was recently put into the standard. So real quick about Sprightly. We're a small US-based 501c3 nonprofit, and our mission is to develop the next generation of decentralized technology for the social web. And to do so, we have a number of projects. Just a quick overview. Our big ones are Goblins, it's a distributed programming environment. OCaPN, the Object Capability Network, it's a protocol we're developing not only with ourselves, but with other like-minded organizations. But the one that's most relevant to this discussion, this talk, is Hoot. It's a scheme to WebAssembly compiler and a WebAssembly toolchain. So here's our little cute pixel art mascot made by our executive director, Christine Lemmer-Weber. So real quick, before I get into general WASM stuff, so Hoot's a compiler. It's a compiler to WebAssembly. The source language is Guile Scheme. We're big fans of Lisp at Sprightly. It's a whole program compiler. That aims to try to make this as small of a binary as possible for efficient delivery to clients, you know, particularly in web browsers. And we target the GC proposal. And we were pretty early adopters of that proposal before it made it to phase four, which is like the final phase in the WASM community group for adoption to the standard. And notably, it does not use the mscripten toolchain, which most WebAssembly projects use, because it's its own toolchain. We have an assembler, we have a disassembler, we have a linker, we have a validator, which we then use to interpret the WebAssembly. So we actually have our own like in-house interpreter, which is really useful for testing purposes. For internal testing, we both have our own interpreter, and then we also use Node.js as kind of like an oracle of correctness for things. But having our own interpreter and our own toolchain gives us a lot of freedom to do as we please with WebAssembly. My experience has been both a user of WebAssembly, but also an implementer of it, and an occasional joiner of hybrid meetings of the WebAssembly community group. But I don't get in there as much as I'd like to. So real quick, who knows what WebAssembly is? Okay, who's actively like used a project like worked with WebAssembly directly? Okay, much smaller number. So I'll just do a really quick overview of WebAssembly and move on. So WebAssembly is a portable, stack-based virtual machine. I guess another show of hands, who's ever heard of ASM.js? Okay, a lot of people, but smaller than the people that heard of WebAssembly. So WebAssembly is like the successor to ASM.js. That was a project started at Mozilla to basically use a subset of JavaScript that can be compiled efficiently. And then out of that became like, well, why don't we actually have a good compilation target that's not JavaScript? And thus WebAssembly was born. Despite web in the name, it's kind of not web and not assembly. It's a, like an intermediate representation for a virtual machine. It's not native, native assembly language. And also, there's runtimes for the browser, but there's many, many other runtimes, both JavaScript-based ones, like in Node.js, like that's using V8, but also many other native runtimes, such as WASM Time is a big one, and it's WebAssembly is getting adoption in many non-web contexts, including like things like IoT. So it's developed through the WASM community group, the W3C, and it's a very approachable specification. I highly encourage people, if you're interested in this at all, take a look at the WebAssembly spec. You do not have to be an expert to get started and to like actually work with this technology. It's one of the most approachable web standards I've ever encountered. You can do a lot with a little effort. The previous slide was what is WASM, and now WAT is WASM. This is the WebAssembly text format, WAT, and it looks like a weird Lisp. It has all the parentheses, it's got the prefix notation, and what you see here is this is an entire WebAssembly module. It's very simple. It has a single exported function named factorial, and what the code you see in there is just an iterative factorial algorithm. And things you might If you're familiar with looking at assembly languages, there's some things that stand out. There's structured control flow. There's things like loops. You see if blocks. There's a lot of nesting. So it's not your average assembly language, but it's quite neat. And if you like Lisp, you'll very much enjoy working with it, I think. So WebAssembly has a lot of interesting security properties, most notably that it's a capability security system. And I just realized I forgot my timer. Oh well, start it now. So WebAssembly modules are essentially little secure sandboxes. They have no ambient authority. They have no means to reach out into the world and say make an HTTP request or read a file or anything like that. The only all it can do in terms of talking to the outside world are the things that are passed into it from the host or who's instantiating the module. And we use the term capability security for this. And so capabilities must be granted by the host in the form of imports. So WebAssembly modules can leave little holes of imports, say a function, and the module will specify what the signature of that function must be and its imported name. And it's up to the instantiator to pass that in. So we'll look at that a little bit more in a bit. But it allows practical implementation or practical use of the principle of least authority. You can make a module and you can give it just enough authority to do what it needs to do and no more. If it doesn't need to make an HTTP request, you don't have to give it that ability. Which means you can tend to run code you don't even trust in a secure way, at least in theory. And then finally, you know, I've been talking about imports. That's kind of compile time or instantiation time capabilities. Through WASM GC, we also get sharing of references, heap allocated references. And so those themselves are a form of object capabilities. So very interesting security properties. Just a quick like bit of history. WASM 1.0, the initial specification, I like to say it's for crabs. It's for the Rust, the C++, these like static ahead of time compiled languages, and particularly languages that use linear memory that are dealing with like pointers into, you know, offsets into memory, which meant that WASM 1.0 was really good for like offloading some number crunching from JavaScript to another language so it could be more efficient and then kind of doing your high level stuff in JavaScript. And this is, you know, like Rust uses the LLVM encryption tool chain for this. A lot of things do. That's WASM 1.0. You know, some managed memory languages that like want to have a garbage collector, they use WASM 1.0. I think Haskell is one that did it. There are others. But it has a lot of downsides to doing that. So the big one being that the binaries are just massive. You're just shipping a lot of code to the user. It's not bandwidth efficient at all. And the reason being mostly is that you have to ship a garbage collector in your binary. It's not a great situation. And it's not only the bandwidth cost. It's also that WebAssembly is not, it doesn't have the ability to do all the things that a native assembly language can do. Like you don't have threads, for example. And on the web, you don't have true threads anyway. There's other, you know, workers and things like that. So what you ship is not a very good garbage collector. You ship a really bad garbage collector that wastes a lot of space, and then it has its own separate heap. So if you want to interoperate with heap values from JavaScript, you're going to have a bad time. So that's kind of the motivating factor for what was published in WebAssembly 3.0, which is WASM for the rest of us. It's for those of us that want to use dynamic programming languages. So I use Scheme, but there's many others that I'll mention a few later. So WASM 3.0 added a hierarchy, this type hierarchy graph you see here, of GC-managed reference types. The most important one being the one all the way to the left that kind of has that diamond shape. It adds things like composite types like heap allocated structs and arrays. It also has this interesting I31 type, which is a 31-bit integer, which anyone that does language implementation knows you can use to implement immediate values, things that you don't actually have to allocate on the heap. They fit in a word, so you can just put them in there efficiently. So all those things are there. It's really great. And then the other one I want to call your attention to is all the way on the other side. my left, your right, I guess, is the extern type. That's the way you could say get a JavaScript value, say a DOM node or something, and hold on to that reference in your WebAssembly program and then say pass it back to do some manipulation of a user interface, for example. So WASM 3.0, all this stuff with all these new types, the type system is called ISO recursive. Type groups can have recursive references to other types in the group. They form, you know, so a collection of types form a group, and they're canonicalized, which means different WebAssembly modules that have type groups that are the same shape at runtime are considered equivalent types. So you can have modules that interoperate by having the same exact type group definitions, and so a reference of one understood in one module can be passed over and then understood and destructured by another module. So it's a way to have interoperability. amongst modules. So with this, dynamic language implementation becomes feasible. WASM-GC is pretty misunderstood. I tend to read WASM discourse online and not comment so much because I just find it pretty frustrating. It feels like it's doomed to repeat the same old things about WASM-GC. I just feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. So I'd like to bust a few myths real quick. The biggest one being that WASM-GC is bloat. Why would you put things relevant to garbage collection in something that's supposed to be an assembly language? That doesn't make any sense. That's the argument anyway. But as I said before, not having this means we have binaries that are just massive and inferior to what you could get when your web browser has a world-class garbage collector sitting right there. And so not only is it not bloated, it makes things, it actually unbloats things. The reference types and the garbage collection instructions combined really only add about 30 or so instructions to the instruction set, and that's nothing compared to, say, what the SIMD instructions added and stuff like that. It's a very small set of instructions. We get smaller binaries, and we get faster ones because we actually get to use the good garbage collectors that are in Chrome and Firefox and Safari and everything. And so just as a personal anecdote, we're a nonprofit, which means we work with not a lot of money. And my small team was able to port a language to WASM-GC on our small budget. And not only that, we were able to implement WASM-GC in our own interpreter. So this is not something that needs, you know, a team of 10 engineers over 3 years to do. You can do this with few resources. Consider that myth busted. I'm just gonna say it. Another big one is that WebAssembly has no DOM access. And that's technically correct, the best kind of correct. And that's because WASM has no I/O access at all. As I said before, a module has no means to reach the outside world unless the host at instantiation time passes in some imported functions to do so. And so all I/O access is granted and mediated by the host. On the web, that's JavaScript. So you can access the web, the DOM API, you just have to import it. And so just as proof, I won't show you the code right now, but this presentation is a WebAssembly program that's, you know, reaching out to construct these DOM nodes that you see that render these slides. So it's very much possible. I do this stuff all the time. You can do it today. And I think maybe what some of the detractors are really getting at is that you do have to call into JavaScript from WebAssembly. And it's a cheap but not free cost. And so if there's any truth to this at all, it's that a fast path might be nice. But what is a WebAssembly specific interface to the DOM look like? I certainly don't know. I think that's a hard nut to crack. But maybe it will be at some point. There's other, they're called JS built-ins proposals that have been coming out. I could foresee some kind of optimization in the future for that. So anyway, I consider this mostly a myth with a nugget of truth. And then the final one is, you know, WASM-GC is just for JavaScript haters. It's for people that just don't want to use JavaScript, and they're being really stubborn, and they think that they could just use this and completely replace JavaScript. And I'm not a hater, I swear, but I do like to use a non-JavaScript language, and it's pretty nice that I can do so on the client-side web now. JavaScript does have good parts, and my snarky Lisp comment is that the parts that it inherits from Scheme, mostly. And ES6 and beyond, like, JavaScript's a pretty good language now. It's really not so bad. So it's not a matter of being a hater or anything like that. But even besides my own personal preferences, there's a clear desire to use non-JavaScript languages on the web anyway. Just as a few example, people want gradual typing, static typing. They want to use TypeScript. Maybe folks want to use Clojure because they use the JVM and they also want to have ship some of that code over to the client. You got ClojureScript, which compiles to JavaScript. You have JSX, which is you're still doing JavaScript, but then you're also embedding like your HTML and stuff in it, and then there's a tool chain to build all that out. There is a compilation pass. So no matter, like, most people have some kind of tool chain involved generating their JavaScript. Even when you get into minification or whatever, it's like using JavaScript, you're working with some kind of thing that looks like a compiler. JavaScript was just not intended to be a compilation target to begin with, and In doing so, when you compile to JavaScript, you're making a lot of compromises usually, especially if your source language is not JavaScript plus some extra stuff. Like TypeScript is like JavaScript, but with a type system. If you want to compile a completely different language, JavaScript, you always have some compromises. And with WebAssembly, you have fewer. So WASM-GC is a JavaScript replacement. It's more feasible than the comment sections would lead you to believe. I think our Project Hoot is proof that it can work. I like to say the dream of the 90s is alive, because before JavaScript was the original vision to ship in Netscape was a scheme that then became JavaScript. So, you know, it's been 30 years, but look, schemes in the browser now, finally. That's pretty cool. 100% elimination of JavaScript is not possible, because you do need to have some, you know, JavaScript is what boots your WebAssembly modules, what instantiates it. You need a little bit of JavaScript code at minimum to handle you know, booting that part of the app. But it's also not really the point. It's not to completely get away from it. It's just to have, you know, to bring your preferred language and toolchain there. So some other languages that use WASM-GC, a lot of JVM languages do it. Java, Kotlin, Scala, and then also some, if you're like a functional programming nerd like I am, you got OCaml there too. It's pretty great. And there are others. That's just a few. So let's see. This next section, I just want to make some high-level comparisons to WASM versus other things. So, you know, when you compile to JavaScript, there's some advantages of WebAssembly in that it's easier to faithfully implement language features. You actually have a good set of, you know, base numeric types, just as a simple example. You know, you actually have ints and floats in WebAssembly rather than just having the number type in JavaScript, which is essentially, you know, a double. You know, if you have a language that's based a lot around recursive calls, which Scheme is and some other functional programming languages are, you have tail calls in WebAssembly, which you don't have in JavaScript. Some JavaScript languages have a tail call optimization thing built into them, but it's not a specified semantic of JavaScript, so you can't rely on it as a compiler builder. But you have it in WASM, so it's easier to bring another language to WASM than it is JavaScript. They have some similarities. Both have structured control flow, which means you don't have a go-to that you can use, which means in either case you're probably going to want to use something like the Beyond Relooper algorithm if your intermediate representation that you're compiling to JavaScript or WebAssembly uses unstructured control flow. You need to do a pass to convert it to structured control flow so that you can emit your JavaScript or your WebAssembly. So they're similar in that regard. You know, WASM's, as much as I wish this weren't true, it's unlikely to be compiling to JS on file size. I don't have like solid numbers to give you on this, but the WebAssembly binaries tend to be bigger than you want, at least right now. It's much lower level thing, so it's a compact binary format, but you need to do a lot of instructions to do things because it's lower level, so you just tend to still have, you're shipping more bytes over to your client, and that may be acceptable or it might be too much depending on the devices you're targeting. And then there's web API overhead. Crossing the WASM.js boundary isn't free, as I mentioned earlier, and you basically need something that resembles a foreign function interface to do it. In WebAssembly, you know, functions are statically typed, and there's no, like, you don't have variable length argument lists. So, you know, a lot of JavaScript methods do operate on those, so you have to kind of figure out how you want to make your interface to various, like, JavaScript methods that way. So there's some translation you have to do. And finally, debugging WebAssembly really isn't great right now, sorry to say. The developer tools are just immature compared to JavaScript. You know, JavaScript had a big head start, and some of the JavaScript tools don't apply to WebAssembly. I find that, like, I like to use Firefox for development, but often just if I try to look at the disassembly of a binary in Firefox, it usually just says loading. Nothing ever happens. I don't know. You know, Chrome supports, like, Dwarf, like a debugging format. But as far as I know, other browsers don't. I haven't actually gotten around to having our toolchain emit Dwarf, but whatever. But there's been some progress on, like, getting external debuggers linked into editors to kind of work around this, but I would like to see the dev tools in the browser get better. So JavaScript is a clear win there. So what if you don't use any language that compiles to JavaScript? What if you just use plain old JavaScript? As I said, you know, JavaScript's quite good these days, so I don't really see a reason to necessarily want to use WebAssembly if you're happy with JavaScript. It's hard to beat, you know, I'm just guessing $1 billion of investment or whatever in the JavaScript ecosystem. Excellent JIT compilers and stuff like that. Like, WebAssembly's just turned 10 years old. It's got, you know, it's got some catching up to do for those things. And, you know, JavaScript's a relatively small language, but Scheme's even smaller. And even with a language as small as Scheme, I still need to ship that runtime into the browser. And there's things like Scheme's numeric tower, like rich set of numeric types, its port IO interface and things like that. I've got to ship them. And that's not free. That costs bandwidth. You know, when you use JavaScript, all that stuff's already there on the client. The cost can be reduced by exporting your binary interface from one module and then importing it from all your other ones, so you can kind of pay the cost once and then have everything share that. So that can reduce, but it can't eliminate having to ship that runtime over. So WASM's a chance to eschew NPM, get rid of NPM. I like JavaScript. I really don't like NPM. I'm not a JavaScript hater, but I am an NPM hater. Too many high-profile security issues for my liking. I've never been happy with the massive dependency graph, so these like little micro-dependencies. And I really don't like that it's hard, like nearly impossible to, say, package a self-hostable open-source web app in a Linux distro because the NPM dependency tree is too big to handle. So I like having a toolchain that doesn't even use it. Let's see. So WebAssembly, it's got some room to grow. I think it's really nice. It's 10 years old, but it's still early days compared to JavaScript. There's just better tooling around JavaScript. The WebAssembly tooling is still trying to catch up. It's found, you know, it's places that it's used. Big companies like Figma use it, and they do all sorts of interesting things. You have people compiling PostgreSQL to WebAssembly or SQL. Like, there's some really cool stuff, but its niche has not been JavaScript replacement traditionally, even though, you know, we at Sprightly use it that way. It's not the dominant like use case for WebAssembly. So I'd say it's not like a slam dunk yet. Like, oh yeah, you got your favorite language, you know, just compile it to WebAssembly and you're good to go. Will it ever be that? I'm not sure. I would like it to be, but all things considered, I'm more or less happy with WebAssembly, although I want to see some things improve. If you want to like read more about this particular thing, like what are people using WebAssembly for, my colleague and lead engineer on Hoot, Andy Wingo from Agalia, he wrote this article for ACMQ recently, WebAssembly, yes, but for what? Take a look. Really good stuff in there. I'm going to end with just looking at some what I think are promising proposals that are coming in the future of WebAssembly. So I'm going to cover three really quick: stack switching, multi-byte array access, and reference type strings. Stack switching. There's no way to capture stack frames in WASM right now as specified, which means you can't really implement, as like a language implementer, you can't implement your own non-local control flow. If your language has coroutines, generators, it's limited continuations, can't use them easily. We do this in Hoot. Our Guile uses delimited continuations for a lot of things. If you don't have them, you really don't have Guile. So we needed them. And so our workaround was to use an explicit stack where we actually have WebAssembly tables and stuff that are holding like our stack frames. And so that way we can capture continuations from them. One, it requires a really tricky compiler pass that took compiler genius Andy Wingo to write that I have trouble working with when there's bugs in it. And it adds significant runtime overhead because you're not using the WASM stack. You're like reading and writing into WASM tables and things like that. So things could probably be like many times faster than they are now if once we get stack switching. So stack switching adds a continuation heap type and some instructions to work with continuations. Multi-byte array access. If you're using WASM linear memory, it's usually just like a single instruction to like get a float. You know, 32-bit float out of a chunk of memory. Not so if you use heap-allocated arrays. So we like to use I8 arrays, like byte arrays in WASM GC. But this code up top is how you get a 32-bit float out of it. You read 4 bytes, and you bit-shift them and OR them together, and then reinterpret them as a float. It's very inefficient, but there's a proposal to change it to just this F32.load instruction, which is the same instruction for using linear memory, except you specify that you want to load it from a heap array. So that's going to make number crunching with heap allocated arrays much faster. Finally, reference type strings. This one's a bit sad. But there's really, strings on WebAssembly are not as easy as they ought to be. You kind of have two main choices. You can work with UTF-8 internally in your WebAssembly module, and then copy them to JavaScript strings at the boundary when you need to. That's what we do presently in Hoot. It's not great because every time you make an FFI call to JavaScript, and it's a string, you copy it. And so you're going to, you know, run your garbage collector more than you would like to. Your other option is to use something like the JS string built-ins proposal, which fundamentally works in 16-bit code units. And so you kind of have to accept the mistakes of the 90s in UTF-16. And I'd rather not do it. There's a proposal called StringRef. It adds a string, reference type, and it has instructions to view strings as either WTF-8 or WTF-16, which is basically UTF-8 and UTF-16 with some, you know, other details to handle some of the crazy Unicode stuff. And it's not JS specific. You have one string type, and you can run it on any WASM runtime, whether it's in the browser, like a JavaScript host or something else. Unfortunately, it's stuck at phase one. The WASM CG community as a whole does not like it, but in Hoot, we love it to the point where even though StringRef has not been adopted, our compiler emits StringRef because it's such a useful set of instructions to use as like as an intermediate representation that we emit WASM that way, and then we take a pass over it to strip out all the StringRef and replace it with a bunch of, you know, stuff using byte arrays. And then copying, we have to go with the JavaScript. So my final wish is, I haven't seen a proposal yet for this, but I want to do web GPU on WASM with heap allocated arrays. We need a way to view a WASM array as a JavaScript typed array. We don't have that yet. Someone make the proposal, please, if you're viewing this or here. Yeah, anyway, in conclusion, do you want a neat WASM toolchain, or do you want to do Scheme on the browser? Try Hoot. I think it's pretty great, and I'm very unbiased about that. So thank you. Again, I'm a nonprofit. I work in a nonprofit. We need money. If you like our work, please donate. Thank you.
We have time only for one question.
Just one question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Well, Christine, it can't be you. I'll be out in the hallway if you want to ask further questions. If Christine's the only asker, then she... Yeah.
Well, that's fine, I will.
Wow. Yeah. No one else cares.
This is a completely non-AstroTurf question. So Hoot has this wonderful WebAssembly toolkit. It's not just for compiling Scheme.
That's correct.
If it has all these features, is there any reason, if I wanted to develop a programming language that compiled to WebAssembly today, or operated on WebAssembly in any other way, that I would choose to use Hoot as opposed to any of the other toolkits that exist? Is there any advantage of doing so?
Yeah, well, I think if you're dynamic programming language minded, you will like that toolchain over the LLVM mscripten toolchain. If you like living programs rather than static ones, I think that's a good base. But also, our toolchain has some interesting things, like having the interpreter means that we can do things like, you know, have something built in. So with Scheme, you have like you often develop from the REPL. You have this read about print loop giving you feedback. Well, you can run a WASM binary from your REPL, and then if there's an error, like a WebAssembly error, well, I can drop you into a WebAssembly debugger in your REPL where you can then inspect function locals, step through it, eval like single WebAssembly instructions as you attempt to debug. So I think if you're at all Lisp curious or dynamic language interested, it's a good place to start. I think the OCaml folks also have their own tool chain, but I'm the one on stage, so you should use Hoots. It's really good.
Thank you.
Thanks.